It is episode 29, and the war in wrestling continues to wage on. Friday night, SmackDown is tonight. Hell in a Cell Sunday. We just came off the heels of AEW on TNT and NXT on USA, and of course, Raw was weird. That's episode 29 of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast, presented by thesportster.com. Here we go. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast presented by thesportster.com and anchor.fm. Brandon is on the line. We are having our final co-hosted podcast for the next couple weeks anyway, because I'm taking off on vacation and you're going to help out while I'm gone. So we're going to get this one in together. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's up, man?
Oh, not too much. It's been a crazy little time period here for wrestling fans because there's been AEW, there's been NXT, there's been a move to SmackDown, which hasn't quite happened yet. As we record this right now, it will be on tonight. Raw was interesting, so we'll talk a little bit about that one. And then, of course, we've got Hell in a Cell this weekend. So yeah. Lots to talk about. We'll have to get through it as quickly and as briefly as we can.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's even, like, brief news we can touch on. But like you said, I mean, going forward in Canada, at least, I know in the States, you have three nights of wrestling a week. But in Canada, we have Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, with NXT airing a day later, right? So it's insane right now to be a wrestling fan because you have just everything under the sun on pretty much every night. And then you also have legitimately a wrestling war. Although, did you see the WWE made a post about AEW?
Yeah, you mean the recent one where they were talking about congratulating them for their ratings?
Yeah, that blew my mind. I didn't see that coming at all.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's probably the right thing to do. You can't ignore the fact that they got the numbers right. Like, you knew that they were probably going to lose that first week because everybody's been thinking about AEW. Everybody knows that it's coming. They've been building to it for months. And NXT has had 2 weeks of programming on USA already. So, you know, even NXT fans were switching over to AEW just to see it, right? Just to see what the first episode was going to look like. So NXT had to know that they weren't going to win that one. But they were smart. I mean, the way they started the show, they gave you, I don't know if you watched it yet, but I've watched it. And the way they started that show gave you a reason to maybe not ignore them for the next 2 hours, right? Like they put all their eggs in that first 20 minutes of that basket, and there was some pretty cool stuff on that show. So it made you want to stay around, right? Just be like, oh,
yeah,
NXT's not choking here. Like they understand what they're up against. This could get interesting. Before we move on to the things in order here, let's tell people where they could find us. We know that we're anchor.fm. We're on thesportster.com, wrestlerwriteups.com, Facebook page, YouTube, although I haven't uploaded them in a little bit, so I'm slacking there. It's my fault. I'll get to that. I know I will. There's a ton of other podcast platforms that you can listen to us on, right?
Yes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, really just anywhere that you get your podcast needs.
Okay, so we got the formal stuff out of the way. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with Raw? Because it'll be short and sweet, and I don't know what your take is, but my take is terrible.
Really? I like Raw.
I hated the end.
I actually, that's not fair. It's a three-hour show.
The end makes you forget about the rest of the show. That ending was so awkward and weird, I forgot about everything else that happened at the beginning.
I mean, to be honest, I did have to look back into what happened on Raw to remember, because, yes, the end was kind of weird. The start was real hot. First of all, that new Naz crew is weird. Not weird as in, like, they're bad, but it is weird not hearing, like, JR or Michael Cole call a wrestling show on Monday nights, right? Like, that's what we've been used to the last, 30
years? I mean, I suppose it's a little strange that Cole's not there, but I didn't actually find the transition terribly uncomfortable. I thought Vic Joseph was really good. Dio Madden said all of like 9 words the whole
night. I know. It was really funny.
And the only thing that I noticed was a little strange was Jerry Lawler was really trying to make up for that. Like he was going way more in depth and stuff than he ever normally would. And it kind of came across as he was trying too hard. Right? I thought he did a decent job, but he just was constantly talking and filling dead space. And that was a little weird for me because it was noticeable, right? But I thought
it's also Vic his Joseph first time back on TV, right? Like he's probably sure. just looking to you know get his feet wet a bit, stretch his legs.
Well, the most awkward part for me was when Becky Lynch was out there watching the match.
Yeah,
she stood up on the table, and he must have said about 11 or 12 times, "Becky, you promised me you weren't going to do this backstage. You promised me you weren't going to do." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, we understand, Lawler. You
top backstage, got it. We understand."
Yeah, you don't have to repeat that for you. But he had nothing else to say. He didn't know what else to do, right? Because that's not normally his job.
You don't even need to sit there. You can just let it
happen. No, he's just the jokester usually, right? So to have to fill that gap was awkward and a little strange. And from what I understand, he's not the long-term solution here. Like, Joseph Diomad will be there. Somebody will come in and eventually take his spot. Who that's going to be and how long he's going to be there, I don't know. But of the three, Heyman is reportedly the least desired to have Lawler there. Like, he doesn't want Lawler there, but that was just sort of put there for now. So we'll see what goes on. I mean, Lawler's good. I have no issue with him. I like him.
It's also familiarity, right?
Yeah, but it is a little strange, to your point, that they just completely removed the entire Raw crew, moved them over to SmackDown, and Tom Phillips and Byron Saxton don't have work. Like, it's just really weird. They're gone, and they're nowhere to be found.
Phillips seemed like their guy, you know? Like, I thought he was, like, the next guy in line for them.
I think he's the best of all six or seven. You know, like, Vic Joseph's pretty good, but I think Phillips most well-rounded of all of them.
Sure. I find that Moro's probably the best of them all, but he's very good on NXT. I don't know.
Acquired taste, right? Like, yes, I really like Ranallo, but you gotta like him or you hate him. Like, into it and so over the top that it can be one of those things where you're not a fan. But I do like him, and a lot of people do. He might be a bit much for 3 hours of Raw.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not saying he should have been on Raw. Let me be clear. I love him on NXT, and I think that's where he should be. On SmackDown, I wasn't crazy about him. I thought it was okay on SmackDown. Not bad, and not, like, super great. Just, I was fine with him on SmackDown. But him going back to NXT was great. How did you feel about the opening segment of Raw, with Brock Lesnar coming out and, like, attacking Rey and Dominik?
I thought that was the best part of the whole show.
I loved it. It was so good. I'm like, if this is going to be Raw for the next, like, forever, then this is awesome. Because right away, first of all, you have Brock Lesnar, you have Rey Mysterio. Right away, you're going back to nostalgia and roots. You bring out Dominik, who I'm not crazy about seeing Dominik on TV every week. But then having Dominik just destroyed by Brock Lesnar automatically makes Dominik a better character in my mind.
Because he did an incredible job.
Me too. Yeah, I had no issue with it. I don't have an issue with Dominik. I have an issue with how it's just been like, oh, like, hey, man, yeah, I'm going to win this for you. And, oh, yeah, hey, Dad, like, yeah, you're great and you got this, man. Like, it's always the same thing every week. Like, there's no variance to it. And he just brings up, oh yeah, by the way, this is my son Dominik, he's big now. Like, I don't know, it's always been kind of awkward. This is the first real, like, character development we've seen where he got brutally attacked and stretchered out by the medical team and referees and whatnot, and Brock Lesnar did his part. Lesnar is so good. I understand people hate him, but Lesnar is so good at his job. I can't understand why people at this point don't like him.
Yeah, I mean, there was a number of things in that segment that I liked. I knew something was up when Lawler said at the very beginning, we're going to start Raw off with a Universal title match, and then Rey Mysterio came out without his gear on. So you knew that there was some confusion there. Okay, well, they're not going to have a match. Something's coming. Dominic's in the crowd. He's pointing to him a couple times. You knew something was coming. Did I know it was going to be Lesnar? No, of course not, because it didn't really – there was no connection there, right? Like, there's really no reason to associate these two. Like, Lesnar and Mysterio don't have that history. There's no storyline there. So it was out of the blue and a little strange. It was a really good segment. I thought Mysterio did a good job selling the bumps. I thought Dominik did a great job selling the bumps, even though there was that one botch where it looked like Lesnar was going to try to F5 him. Couldn't get him. Then I'm slamming him into the ropes and dropping him on the ground. I mean, that looked really cool. And it was a nice kind of like, oh, okay, well, that didn't work. Let's just do this. And he's that strong that he can just do that, right? And not really be a big deal, but I thought Raw dropped the ball after that segment was over. Like, for moving, okay, now you know Mysterio's gone. Obviously, he's not fighting Rollins tonight. So was this an interesting way to try to get Mysterio out of that match? What were they thinking? And then to tease, okay, well, we'll just have Orton versus Rollins because of the Hogan Flair Team 5 thing that's going to be happening at the Saudi Arabia show. Oh, yeah, no, it's not going to be that. yeah, that's not actually a match now. And then Rusev being in the main event, challenging him after making the save. That was a little. But then they did end. It was just like, right? It didn't make sense to me. I don't have an issue with Lashley. I don't have an issue with Lana. It didn't make sense.
It was really awkward to look at.
There's no origin story. None. Like, there's absolutely no reason to connect.
Well, this is the origin story, right? So I guess, like, first of all, I mean, it was awkward to look at, and that was my issue with it. It went on a little too long, or a lot too long, really. I don't quite understand it. And this is kind of like the reverse. Do you remember when Mike Kanellis and Mariel had the whole thing starting, and I was really upset about it, and you're like, well, let's just see where it goes,
yeah.
And you were wrong? This is my chance to be wrong about this maybe going somewhere and maybe hopefully redeeming itself just because Paul Heyman is Paul Heyman. But yeah, it was really rough. And like you said, it really overshadowed. Like, Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss had a good match, I thought. It was fine. I thought Becky was the best part of commentary during it, and she didn't really do much either. Like,
yeah.
I just enjoyed her being there, knowing she was there. The match itself was whatever, like I said, but it was nice seeing Sasha Banks go out there and get her win, and Alexa Bliss isn't a pushover. You know, she's a champion, which then again, that tag team championship apparently means nothing, so maybe that means nothing anyway. I liked seeing Heavy Machinery get a push. Otis without the full singlet.
Yeah,
kind of weird to me. What else even happened? Like, there's a lot of really good things. The Ric Flair Hulk Hogan thing was the weirdest thing to me. We'll go back to that since you were talking about it.
Yeah. So
Hulk Hogan legitimately says, like, oh yeah, like, you're the greatest of all time. And Flair's like, basically like, what did you call me? Yeah, I am the best. Get out of my ring. It's like, well, I was complimenting you. Like, what are you actually?
Flair,
it was so awkward. I thought he was actually having a moment.
They need to have Flair off TV.
Like, I know it was intentional, but it seemed...
if it was intentional. I think he screwed that up somewhere. I think in the way of trying to deliver that script, he messed it up. And I think that's what's going to happen with him. He's, like, old, not quite there anymore. He's had so many issues that I don't know that you can give him a series of lines and expect him to deliver them and nail them. Like, the less he talks, I think, from now on, the better it's going to be. Even Hogan... who isn't always, 100% on point with his things, did look like a genius compared to Flair during that segment, right? Like, thank God the Miz was out there to save it.
I know.
That's Miz probably why they did it, right?
Yeah,
because they knew if it got off the tracks, he could try to get it back on, right?
Hogan actually really got it back on tracks as well. Like you said, like, he looked like a genius, and he's Hogan to me, and this is the funniest thing about Hogan. Whenever he comes out now, it's always the same thing. Well, let me tell you something, brother, and like blah blah blah. Talks about the arena they're in, and Hulkamania, and it's always the same thing, and it seems very phoned in. But then you think about Hulk Hogan's whole career, and that it's not like they overdo it for like selling points now, like they do for every move and every match and every gimmick. That's just what Hogan's always been.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's just like we've grown past that as wrestling fans, because seeing Hogan do that every time he comes out now, I'm like, been there. It's cool. It's cool seeing Hulk Hogan. He's Hulk Hogan. Stone Cold may be like the most important wrestling figure ever. Hulk Hogan is Hulk Hogan. Like, he's on a different level all in itself, everyone knows Hulk Hogan. Everyone that's ever known anything, even a little bit about wrestling, probably knows Hulk Hogan more than anything.
How much did it scare you when it looked as though they were teasing a match between those two?
Oh, not even for a second did I think
they're
doing a match between these two.
Please tell me this is not what they're doing for a Saudi Arabia show.
I didn't even know a Saudi Arabia show was coming up.
End of the month. Yeah,
it's
like a month.
Amazing. Yeah, October 31st, Halloween.
Yeah.
That was that segment was funny. It wasn't the best segment. It wasn't the worst segment. It was just very funny. It was a comedic relief. Yeah, it was comedic relief when they probably didn't intend for it to be funny at all. Which is just really funny.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, they it's going to be big. I'm sure the next few weeks of Raw are going to be who's on the teams. We know at least two, right? We've got Rollins and Rusev, and we've got Orton and King Corbin. So it's...
Did you see, by the way, there's a video going on from like behind the scenes. Someone, like, I guess a fan took the footage of it. But Corbin sitting on his chair, and like the footage
the
is like
throne broke or something.
Yeah, and Randy Corbin's trying to like play it off, and he's like talking to like Lala, like what's so funny, whatever. And then you see Randy Orton just laughing, like he's just like bursting out laughing, and he can't help it. And he's like, "What do you want me to do? Like, it's hilarious." Yeah. Randy Orton's the best off camera because he just totally breaks character, doesn't care. This time he like blew a kiss to his girlfriend or his wife or whatever, remember?
Yeah,
And
yeah.
he was blowing a kiss to, who was it? Was it Reigns?
Yeah.
Whoever it was.
Yeah.
It was just, he's so funny, Randy, off camera because he just doesn't care. He's off camera.
Yeah. No, it'll be interesting to see what they do there. But if that's the big story for the next few weeks, Raw could be whatever. Like if the main storylines are who's on the team.
Yeah, I don't care.
What's the story with Lashley and Rusev? That Raw could be in some trouble here. Like, it's not, that's not very exciting news for the next 2 weeks. But yeah, the reason I didn't like the Lana and Lashley stuff is just I don't know where this comes from. You know, like, Rusev's been gone. There's been no explanation as to why Lana didn't come back with him. Then all of a sudden, it sounds like there are marital problems, like, just out of nowhere. Right.
Yeah,
it was like they rushed it all in. It's like they rushed it all in to get Lashley to be able to walk out with Lana. And then he comes out and he ushers for her three different times.
Before I know. It was so awkward.
Yeah, it was just really weird. Oh, and then, yeah, well, they made out for like 45 seconds. Almost like they're like, oh, crap, we're not going off the air for another minute and a half. Just keep making out. Right. And then Rusev like had no reaction to the whole thing. He's just standing there like looking at it like. Yeah, he's like, it's almost like internally, he's like, I'm not loving this, but I know this is what's going to get me on TV. And like, it's just weird. Meanwhile, Lana seems to be all over, like, yay, right? Like, it's like, this is so much fun. And Lashley, why wouldn't he care? He doesn't care, right? Yeah. And then in the meantime, you've got The Fiend and Rollins just sort of thrown into the background, which is clearly the biggest story on Raw, but it's just sort of hiding in the background outside the ring. Again, he does the same thing. Lydia, I just hated that whole last 20 minutes. I was just like, ugh, this is what – and mostly because – Raw's been so much better, you know, under Heyman in the last few weeks. It's been good. And this was a real dropping of the ball for me. I just didn't – I wasn't a fan at all. So hopefully SmackDown tonight, which we are recording now, we will talk about later in a second segment that we'll add to this podcast, is much better. I am a little concerned with how much they are going to cram into the 2 hours that is on TV tonight. I mean, between The Rock and Austin and Lesnar and Kofi and the match with Owens. And I mean, there's so much going on in this 2 hours that it sort of feels like a reunion show, which they're never great shows because they're just shoving crap in there as much as they possibly can for 2 hours. So there may not be much to come. At least there's three decent matches there. So it'll be interesting to see how much better it is than Raw was.
Yeah, I think that's why Avengers Endgame was so good, because it's not just that they had everyone there, but it's the fact that they had every single person pretty much in the, you know, the universe of like 23 movies. But they did it so well that it didn't feel overdone. It didn't feel overcrowded or anything. So Raw and SmackDown have a, you know, they can learn a thing or two from that. It's hard, right? It's not easy. You have a lot of wrestlers and a lot of time, and it's hard to really. Movies are a lot easier to put that together, and it's edited, right? And there's hundreds of millions of dollars put into these. But with reunion shows, they can be done so much better. But like you said, you always know there's going to be like, I know this isn't an actual reunion show, but just on that topic. You know, you're going to see like Ron Simmons saying, damn. You might see like Jimmy Hart backstage. You'll see like, I don't know, Sergeant Slaughter just walk out for some reason. There's going to be one angle with like five or six different like former superstars coming out there just for the pop, for like attacking one guy, like one heel or something like that. Or it's always the same thing. And I think that with Heyman and Bischoff, you hope that it's going to be better. And I mean, some of my fondest memories of wrestling were during like the Heyman and Bischoff GM days. Those were like, that's like prime wrestling to me. So I think we could expect better, maybe not after having seen, like you said, Raw for me, like I liked Raw, like I said, but I see what you're saying with the last 20 minutes. It's kind of like when a pay-per-view you're watching and you're like, this is like a 4-star show. And then they have Lesnar win for no reason. And you're like, well, now it's a 3-star show because the last match ruins it.
Well, the last impression they give you. I remember when I was like DJing events, and if I wanted the night to end a little early because people were being stupid, I would play the worst song I could think of, and that would be the song that was stuck in their head all the way home, right? It's like, that's what you're doing. You've played a whole good show. You've done a really good job up until you don't want to anymore, and then you play something or you do something just that sticks in their head and doesn't leave and leaves a lasting memory that you don't love and that you can't shake it, right? Like that. That's what Lashley and Lana was for me. It's the image of Raw that you just can't shake. That you're like, I don't understand it. I don't get why they did it. Yeah. My concern about SmackDown tonight is that of all the things that are going on, of all the cool stuff that could happen, new logos, new sets, tons of people, the draft starts tonight. We're forgetting that, right? Like, there's so much going on that the topic of conversation is that The Rock finally agreed to come, and everyone's talking about CM Punk. Like, those are the two things that seem to be on the forefront of everybody's mind with this show. It's probably not how it should be, but that just is how it is, right? And we could be very disappointed in what happens. There could be no Punk at all. And The Rock might come out and do like a 2-minute segment where he does some goofy, stupid thing and then leaves. Like, then what? Right? Then you're kind of like, oh, I hope the rest of the show is pretty good. So I'm looking forward to it. Like, I'm eagerly awaiting to watch it, and I will absolutely be watching it. But I just don't know what to expect out of it. So I'm also, while looking forward to it, I'm looking forward to leaving my feedback about it, because I have a feeling I'm going to be one way or the other. I'm going to either really like it or probably not like it at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking to watch it live. I unfortunately, I have no idea if I'll be able to, but I'm going to do my best to do that and get my thoughts in as well. But it's the kind of show where everyone's talking about, like you said, the wrong things almost. Like, The Rock is great, and maybe CM Punk is great, but what about the actual, and this was CM Punk's issue when he was in wrestling, right? Like, when he was with the company, why are we not marketing the people that are on the show as the biggest things, and why are these not the real talking points? Like we talked about before the show, there are 3 matches announced for Hell in a Cell right now. There's Seth Rollins versus The Fiend for the Universal Championship, Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks for the Raw Women's Championship, and Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns against Eric Rowan and Luke Harper. All 3 matches should be fine. I'm really excited about all that, like the first 2 at the very least. I don't really care about Bryan and Reigns versus Rowan and Harper. It's kind of weird to me, but we have no idea what the SmackDown matches are. You know, we have, well, I mean, Lesnar versus Kingston.
I'm assuming they haven't announced that because the title's going to change tonight. That's my prediction.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, remember, that's all we talked about when it was first announced was Lesnar versus Kingston and what was going to happen there. And we've all sort of just forgotten about that now. But I get the sense that Lesnar's going to win the title, and that is why they haven't announced a match for Kofi Kingston at Hell in a Cell. Because if he doesn't go in the champion, how does that affect that match? And as much as I like Kofi Kingston, if he's not the champion, how high on your card is he? He's not, right? Like, he just really isn't terribly relevant. He's not in your last 4 or 5 matches unless he's the champ. And if he's not coming in the champ to Hell in the Cell, what's the point of promoting a match that involves him? Sure. So my guess is Lesnar's going to be the champion going into Hell in the Cell, and we'll figure out who his opponent is either tonight after that match is over, or it'll be a surprise opponent or something, right? Like, it'll just be, or maybe even a rematch, like Kofi against Lesnar.
CM Punk versus Lesnar in a rematch for the championship? What'd you say?
Yeah. I mean,
I'd be okay with that.
Punk has said he's not going to wrestle. Like, he asked Rock to call him. He might be there, but he's not getting in the ring, right? Like, that we know. And if he ever does, it's not going to be immediately. So, you know, there's going to be a lot going on that we're overlooking, and who knows what that winds up being. But, you know, I'm guessing Lesnar is the story of the night when everything is said and done, but he's not the story going into the show, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. But on CM Punk, he just did an interview with as Collider, Collider Live, and they asked him, like, point blank, like, were you at that taping? First of all, he was very calm, you know, modern day CM Punk, no longer like angry, like anxious CM Punk. He basically said, like, yeah, like, I'm open to talk, like, whatever, you know, like, just make me an offer, like, whatever it is, like, I'm a businessman. But he says morals are higher than, like, his business interests, right? And they're like, well, it was a perfect offer. Like, he's like, well, I mean, like, if they ask me to wrestle, then, like, no, like, I'm not gonna do that. This current show that he, like, auditioned for, he said yes, he was there. He auditioned, he was there, whatever, for the SmackDown, like, talk show with Fox or whatever it is. It's very much in the same vein of what he already does for Mixed Martial Arts. And he would be working for Fox, not WWE. And apparently, after doing an interview, no one from WWE even called him. Like, there's still no contact. However, this is pro wrestling, and nothing that's said means anything, right?
Yeah.
Everything's a double switch.
Well, I mean, look at Swagger. Swagger just lied about being part of AEW and that he wasn't showing up. He's been signed for months, right? Like, he's been a part of AEW for a long time. It was just a matter of when to bring him on TV, right? Like, yes, these guys don't tell the truth.
I was really
you know what? I really liked it. We'll talk about it now, I guess. I really did like the show.
It was really good.
Yeah. And here's what I liked about it was that the fact that Swagger, now Jake Hager, coming out and, you know, Goldust or Dustin Rhodes now, or whatever they're calling him, was the two kind of main surprises on the show are actually like WWE.
And Moxley.
Moxley, but he wasn't a surprise. He was advertised to be there.
Yeah, but like the way he did it.
Yes, the going through the coffee table was cool.
I'm pretty sure it was sugar glass, but still, I was like, oh my God, that's a glass table. Oh my God, they went through the glass table.
Yeah, and you knew when Omega was taken out, something was coming, right? I was a little surprised actually by the finish, which was I liked. You know, the fact that I would assume somebody was going to come down and help the Young Bucks. That's not what happened. The Young Bucks actually lost because 3-on-2, you should lose. So that was a nice finish I wasn't expecting. That was kind of cool. But what I liked about the show was that the fact that Hager and Goldust or Dustin Rhodes were your two big finishes, and they're really just kind of like main event WWE kind of guys. Like, they're not really stars anymore. That shows you that the presentation means more than the people do, right? Yes. Like, the fact that that's your big surprise, a guy that flushed out of WWE and no one really actually cares about that much. I mean, it reminded me a lot of, like, when TNA used to grab these old guys from WWE and try to market them and be like, okay, look who we have now. We've got this. It's so good. Like, yeah. It really isn't about that.
It was Dean Ambrose and John Moxley all over again.
Right.
AEW's done a really good job at marketing these guys.
Yeah, except John Moxley is a way bigger star than Swagger ever was.
Or sure.
Whatever, right? But that shows you that when you present the product right and you write the proper storyline and you do what you're supposed to, it doesn't really matter who you bring out, right?
Right.
You write it right and you put it on TV and you make it exciting to watch, then people will buy into it. And that's what they did very well. And I thought all 2 hours of that show, they did very well. I thought the women's match was presented very well and he kind of had you hanging on. That who they chose to win was smart. You know, like, I just thought that they ran a really good show. And I listened to Tony Khan after the show was over and he was talking about how he wanted to keep everything flowing. And even Kevin Smith, you know, being there wasn't like a goofy backstage session. They tried to work it in and get, you know, a tag team in there, even though that wasn't the smoothest of segments that they did. It still flowed within the whole 2 hours of the show. If they do that every week, they're in good shape. Now, the reality of who they've actually signed to be their big stars is going to catch up to them at some point. So they got to build guys like MJF and the Young Bucks and these guys. They got to focus on those guys. But they did a lot of good things without a lot of major names there. There was no Sean Spears. There's no Darby Allin. There's no Joey Janela. There was like none of those guys were there. Right. Yeah. And they still pulled off a really good show. So that shows you that they are on the right track. That's what I like the most about that show.
Well, that's the best thing. And that's what I've been saying for a long time with WWE. You don't need overexposure. You don't need to see everybody every week. And some of like the people I've been most impressed with, like Darby Allin, I've been so high on him since his first match in, I guess, was it Cody Rhodes he wrestled? Yeah. That match was unbelievable. Cody Rhodes, I know he's won like all his matches. I think he's won every one of them. But he's really done a good job at like showing off talent. Like Sammy Guevara, I was really high on him when they signed him too. I thought he was really a sneaky good signing.
Well, they clearly had big plans for him.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like it didn't look like it at first. And I was like, well, that's kind of disappointing because I thought he was good. He's a nice little heel. What you saw on Dynamite is what he is. You know, coming out there and like after the match, shaking his hand, then going out to attacking after and just low blowing him. Like just the kick was so funny to me. Like just like shaking his head, like okay, and then he just does it, and then Dustin doing it back. And the number one thing, we've talked about this for a while too, there is a faction already on AEW. Yeah. Right? You've got LAX, Chris Jericho, Jake Hager, and Sammy Guevara. That's already fantastic. You've already got a faction that can be a legitimate threat. That, I mean, you technically have two factions, right? With the Dark Order or whatever, with the that's a pretty big team.
Yeah.
So you've got two technically factions, although it's hard to look at the Dark Faction, Dark Order as a faction just because, like, I see them more as a team, even though they are legitimately a faction. It's weird to me. It's not like a bunch of individual guys together.
The Elite are a faction too, right? Really?
When you think, sure.
Even though there's a lot of crossover with Omega, like is he heel, is he babyface? I'm not loving that whole thing. I don't know what he is, but that's a group too, right? Like you know that they're the Cody Young Bucks, Kenny Omega group is a faction essentially, right?
Yeah, I didn't think.
Yeah, no, I thought it was good.
The best thing for me during that match, other than the glass table and like Jake Hager coming out, the moment that got me like super hyped was when he took the mop and he started to just the cleaner stuff.
Yeah, I was
like, that's amazing. Also, we didn't even talk about this, but like the day before AEW had their first, you know, their debut show on network television, they finally announced that they were going to be teaming up with TSN, and I called that back forever ago, thinking it makes the most sense. Right. Especially considering they've done like two specials on Omega or whatever it was, like the one talk thing and the special on him and who was it, his team, the Golden Lovers.
Kota Ibushi.
Kota Ibushi, right.
Yeah.
They did two specials on Kenny Omega. It was like, and also, I mean, two of their top stars are Canadian. Not that that really matters, but it made sense that TSN would get, because Sportsnet has WWE's rights here. So it made sense for TSN to say, hey, we're going to win this battle, which is weird to say that because, you know, WWE is bigger and they have more shows and more content and whatever, but AEW is hot. So having TSN get that, it's the hot new thing. It's very, very big for TSN here. And just being able to watch it live, I was really excited. I was worried about how I was going to do it because I knew I had to.
Yeah.
I wanted to and I had to. I wasn't missing the first episode. I didn't want anything spoiled for me. And getting to watch that live was tremendous. Like,
yeah.
See,
no, it's good. And they have five channels in Canada, so you figure they can fit it on channel. One of them. Yeah. They did good. Okay, so before we close, because we don't have too much time here left, we got to talk about NXT though.
And
because
NXT.
While we NXT. Were watching about we were watching AEW, and I was watching AEW live with NXT on silently in the background. I was simulcasting it at the same time. Right. I did catch my attention. I thought.
Which did you have muted, sorry?
What's that?
Which one did you have muted in the
background? I had NXT muted.
Okay.
I had it very low. I wouldn't say muted all the way, but I was listening to AEW, and I could hear the NXT stuff to my right. But they caught my attention early. That Adam Cole-Matt Riddle match was excellent. And then, geez, to see Finn Balor, right? Like, that was a shocker for me. I didn't even know he was coming back yet. When he did come back, I assumed he was going to join the OC at some point.
Right, that was what we thought, yeah.
Now when you look back at it, now that he showed up, it makes a lot of sense, right? Because you know that he loved NXT. You knew he wasn't a real fan of being called up when he was called up because he liked NXT and what he had done there.
He's the face of the brand. He still is the face of the brand.
Right, and if he's taking time away because he's burnt out or for whatever reason, I mean, he got married, right? But like, if that's why he's leaving because it's just a little much, NXT makes sense, right? Like, you're filming at the same place every week in Florida. Like, that's a nice calming sort of, okay, I'm just going to slow things down a little bit. And he's going to be, like, a huge star there. So it makes a lot of sense to do it. And it also shows you that WWE is like, okay, we're going to have to start to pump some stuff into NXT here. We've got some really cool people, but not a lot of people everyone knows. We need a couple names that are going to show up. So I have a feeling that by the time this weekend is over, between the draft starting tonight and finishing on Monday, if that's what they're doing, just two episodes of it, there's going to be some other people in NXT. It won't just be Balor. But Balor showing up in NXT was huge.
Yeah, it was huge. And like, I've honestly been a huge Balor fan. If it's Bullet Club related, apparently I'm a big fan, like we talked about. Balor is tremendous to me. I think he will be back on Raw or SmackDown eventually, right? Like,
eventually.
They're going to shuffle everyone around.
I don't think for a while. Not from
no,
the words NXT he says is, as of now, Balor is NXT. That was
what he was,
right? So he's going to be there for a while.
Which is good. I think he should be there. He may get another run as WWE champion, right? That could happen in the future. But for now, build NXT because, I mean, you have to. It's a network television show now. You have to have name power. So you have Balor there. You have Adam Cole there. You have Tommaso Ciampa, right? That was cool.
Yeah.
You need to see Tommaso Ciampa come back and... every big angle circled around Adam Cole. Adam Cole was the show. Like, it was Adam Cole and who else? That's pretty much what the show was.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny Gargano had just sort of a throwaway match, right? Like, he's a star for that brand, but they are clearly pushing Cole. Like, the fact that they talked about this broken bone in his wrist and that he got to cast it up and suck it up, this is NXT, and go out there. And not only did he go out there and compete when they wanted you to believe that maybe he wouldn't, he did, and he beat Matt Riddle. Like, so it was, he's clearly the guy that they're working this whole promotion around, and they want to make him as big a star as they can. So to have him not only win against Riddle, but, oh, hey, by the way, you're going to face off with Balor and Ciampa tonight. We'll see where this goes. I mean, yes, you're right. It's 100% about Adam Cole now.
Yeah, like he was legitimately there for like every segment. Like, he was there to start the show with like all four holding the gold, which is great. He was there. Technically, he wasn't there with the Matt Riddle, like Keith Lee stuff, but then Matt Riddle and Adam Cole had their thing. Adam Cole and Finn Balor, Adam Cole and Tommaso Ciampa. So this guy is, he's in so many storylines right now. And we don't know which way. I mean, I don't know if Finn Balor is, like, if he's coming for Adam Cole, or if that was
no,
just the
best
place
to bring
him
out. No, I don't think so. I think that was just a really good way in the first 20 minutes to half an hour to announce, oh, by the way, this is going to be a big show.
Yeah. Right?
Like, that, they think that's the, they were all they were doing. And Balor will just be inserted into some sort of main event storyline, whether they're working a triple threat match or, you know, four corner, whatever. Balor will be in the conversation now. I think that's all they were doing there.
Yeah, either way, no matter what they do with it, just having star power after star power and making sure that your top guy looks like your top guy. It was weird because even though he was there for so much of it in that sense, it didn't feel overdone. So, again, NXT just seems to do it in a very effective way, I think. And yes, they lost to AEW week one, and we knew that that was going to happen. Like, I don't think there's any question whatsoever that AEW wasn't going to win. And let's be clear, AEW is probably going to win every week, right?
I don't know about that. I don't know.
Until we see all the star power.
I think that that's going to happen. I did a poll on Twitter asking exactly that question. Who has more star power going into the show? Now, it changed a little bit when Balor showed up, but yeah. It was dead heat. It was dead even. Like, after almost a couple hundred votes, it was dead even. Like,
but does Twitter matter as much as 50, actual 50. Ratings? For, like, for you the actual... I mean? I don't know that
people audience... People voted thinking that WWE had the same kind of star power that AEW did, and then we're talking about NXT here, right? Like, that does translate over time. Like, people are going to stick with AEW. They're going to watch it for a while. They're going to give it a chance. But if NXT can continue to do the right thing and build and build and build and build and maybe introduce one more person and write the right matches and the story, they will get it at some point. Like, it won't be 183 weeks or whatever it was that WCW, beat them in the ratings. That's not happening. Like, it might happen for 11 weeks, maybe 12, but it's not going to last, right? NXT's too good. Like, they just,
NXT's
their product
tremendous.
Is too
it's
good.
The best show of the three of Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. It's always been. And we talked about NXT is always the best product in WWE, and it's so underrated. And they do it without, like, quote unquote star power. They have stars, but we don't know their stars yet. To the point where even when they get called to the main roster, most people don't realize how good they are, and they get wasted. Even Vince McMahon doesn't realize how good they are, right? So to be able to broadcast and show these people and give them a platform and make them look so good despite being relative unknowns, Johnny Gargano should never be the face of your show. But man, Johnny Gargano is a five-star wrestling machine, right? Him and Tommaso Ciampa, that whole storyline, it was built over a few years. Tremendous. Him versus Adam Cole, unbelievable. You have any kind of longevity with storylines, and you can make anyone a star. You can make anyone look good. It just takes the right booking. And for some reason, Vince McMahon misses the mark on that a lot now. But Triple H does a really good job. And AEW... Now we're going to finally get to see, can they build things over the course of, a few weeks, months, years? And we got to see the start of that with, all the matches were really, really, really good. I don't know if you saw them all, but they were all tremendous matches. Good.
I haven't seen in detail all of them, like the Damian Priest stuff, that segment with Pete Dunne. I didn't get to watch that whole match. I did watch all of the AEW. Watched that show twice.
Yeah, exactly. They were all tremendous matches. And then you have the setup of the feud with the faction coming out. Like I said, you have the building blocks now to show us what you can do. And NXT has had this. They have a leg up because they've been doing this for a while. And for some reason, no matter what talent goes through NXT, Seth Rollins, Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Bobby Roode, doesn't matter who the person is that gets called up, Finn Balor, Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, Bayley, Charlotte. These are all, like, super, super names to have that can just leave your show, right? They get called up and they're gone. Yeah. Asuka, even. You know, these people leave your show and now they're gone. They're no longer in your main event picture. And NXT just keeps chugging along. And they make new guys and new girls, and they make these stars look like superstars, and not like a WWE superstar. I mean, like a megastar. They make them look so good and believable. And part of that comes down to the crowd as well. The crowd, they're so good and they're so believable, and they buy into NXT. And as long as people are they keep an open mind for both shows, I would love to see a back and forth tilt. NXT winning one week, AEW winning the next week. Who cares about Raw SmackDown? Let's just see the Wednesday Night War and then we'll see what happens from there.
Okay. Good point. So here's my question before we close the show. Who won? Sure. Did AEW win on Wednesday, or did NXT win on Wednesday, or did the fans win on Wednesday? So the there's three options. Yeah.
Not even a thought. You asked the question, I was like, I don't care who won. I feel like we won. And I think that's why WWE made their post, because, hey, AEW beat us and they're not going away and we can't just ignore them, like you said. So let's acknowledge it. Let's get it out of the way. And now, you know, the gloves are off, where this is good for the fans. Let's not take this away from them. Let's not pretend. They pretended TNA didn't exist for years, and TNA obviously didn't exist relatively compared to WWE, regardless of the talent they had. AEW exists, and you can't pretend it's going away anytime soon. And the fans right now, it's probably the most exciting we've ever had, or excitement we've had for wrestling in decades. Like, it has to be, right?
Okay, well, there you just led me perfectly into my part two of the question. With how hot this week has been so far, does it continue? Does SmackDown and Hell in a Cell keep this week rolling, or does it let it down at the end of the week?
I think SmackDown could... I think the three matches we have for Hell in a Cell, like I said, two of them are really, really good. So I'm optimistic about Hell in a Cell. I think SmackDown with the draft and everything should be really good. Like I said, one way or another, whether or not I get to watch it live or not, I will be watching it before the show. And I don't want to see anything about wrestling. I don't want to read anything. I want to just watch the shows before I get any spoilers for me. I think that it continues. I'm not sure it's going to be as hot because, again, I think AEW and NXT are the real stories here, which is crazy when you think about that, right? If you go back 5 years and I tell you that Raw and SmackDown are in the background for me and NXT, which was some joke, you know, like faux reality TV show, and AEW, which you think, what, AEW, the restaurant? Right? Like, you have no idea what I'm talking about, AEW. If I tell you that those two shows are your top product in wrestling right now, you would never believe me. You'd be like, what is that? There's no way WWE's taking a backseat. And no, NXT's WWE, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's just good news for wrestling fans. That's all it is, right? 100%. It's good news for the industry, it's good news for the fans, and it's good news for whatever. Well, you got, sounds like a lot to talk. I don't want to cut you off, but I got to cut you off. So I'm going to let you save some of your enthusiasm for next week, because I know that you're probably going to be on your own, maybe have a guest or two while I'm on vacation. But let's close it off, just because I got to get running here, and I want to watch SmackDown and maybe add those thoughts to the podcast before we air this live. So we'll say, remind everybody where they can find us.
Anchor.fm.
Yeah, I'll plug it. Anchor.fm. And what else we got?
Spotify, Google, Podbean. Yeah, like I said, really anywhere. YouTube, once those get uploaded, it happens sometimes with schedules. Real life gets in the way. So
that's right.
Even if it's not on YouTube, I promise you can find the show. So if you really do want to see it, I promise you it's out there.
And of course, thesportster.com and wrestlingyardops.com. So, we'll close her there. We'll add our comments to the SmackDown stuff at the end of the show. We'll air this thing on Saturday. And, Brandon, I look forward to listening to your content. Hopefully, I will get a chance to maybe chime in by phone, even if it's only for a couple minutes while I'm gone. Sure. But I look forward to listening to the show. And we'll talk to you next week with a lot to talk about between SmackDown and Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, it's going to be. And I mean, at that point, you'd assume that I'll also potentially have seen AEW and NXT. I don't know when I'm going to be recording next week, if it's alone, but there could be a lot to talk about every single week, to the point where we just did a 45-minute show and talked about everything, but it's going to be real tough to get everything crammed in. Maybe I might be able to do it next Friday just to get everything in outside of SmackDown. I could do it Wednesday, but I don't want to miss the two, like I said, the two biggest parts of the week.
Yeah.
That being said, maybe it's worth doing it just so I can get the Hell in a Cell content in, because that's going to be a whole thing. Anyway, I'll figure it out. Like I said, maybe you can join in and just get a few comments in about whatever whatever day I do it, whatever it is that you wanted to say about the pay-per-view or whatever shows were before. But exciting times.
All right, man. Well, I'm excited to hear it, and I will chat with you next week. We just thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.